Please open in your Bibles to the letter of 3 John. Tonight we're going to finish the epistles of John. We're looking at the letter of 3 John tonight. Hear now, once again, the inspired, holy word of God. The elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Let's pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that our salvation is complete in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have saved us from the penalty of sin. You are saving us from the power of sin over us. And Lord, someday you will save us from the very presence of sin itself. We thank you that you have finished this work in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will surely come to pass. We thank you that our hope in you is secure. We thank you now for your word, which guides us and teaches us and sets forth a good example for us to follow, that we might live lives worthy of the gospel. We pray, Lord, that this evening we would see Jesus Christ and want to emulate him with all of our hearts. Work in us by your Spirit to that end. We pray that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Has anybody ever told you that you remind them of someone else? And that can be something that's enjoyable to hear, depending upon who it is that they're likening you to, or it could be a bit of an annoyance to you. Young kids, you often get compared to your older siblings. You remind me just like of your older brother or older sister. Our husbands, men here, do you ever hear your wives saying, "Oh, you're just like your father"? That could be good or it could be bad. I don't know. But oftentimes we're likened to other people. That's because we imitate others. We seem to do it naturally. We're a people who imitate other people. And tonight in our text, John writes to his beloved friend Gaius and talks about imitation. He talks about imitating what is good instead of imitating what is evil. And Gaius apparently was a leader in this church that John writes to. And it's interesting as we consider the letters of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, that in 1st John, he was writing to a group of churches. It was more of a circular letter going around to all the churches underneath John's care. Then 2 John happened to be one particular church under John's care. And now 3 John is one particular person of one particular church under John's care. So he's getting closer and closer as he goes down. And so he writes to his friend and he wants to tell him, and he wants to tell us as well, that we should not imitate what is evil, but that we should imitate what is good. And John opens this letter, as he opened the other ones, with a very common greeting. But he does so to his beloved friend Gaius. And John uses a common greeting that was very customary in his time. He wishes his recipient well. He hopes he is in good health. He hopes his soul is prospering. We can read that in verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. This is a very common way to open a letter. It's just like whenever we write an email to one another, we often say, I hope you're doing well. I'm doing well. This greeting was so common that even in Latin letters that were written in that time period, it was a phrase that was often used. Si valis bene est, ego valio. If you are well, it is good. I am well. And the reason I said it in Latin is because they would abbreviate that Latin phrase using the first letter of each word. And they would abbreviate it by saying S-V-B-E-E-V. They would just write that in their letters. And we thought we were so clever when we began text messaging one another with the first letter of each word. We thought we were new and innovative. Well, they've been doing it since the first century, so oh well. But they would often use this common greeting of well-wishing. But John deviates a little bit from this common greeting. And he puts a particularly Christian twist to it. And we can see that in verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Whom I love in truth. Last week we talked about the connection between love and truth. But he writes this to his Christian brother and sister. And he has a particular slant to his greeting, because his friend is a beloved friend in Christ. And so that got me thinking, I wonder how we greet one another. And I started thinking about, is our greeting any different than we greet the unbelievers we come into contact with at work or at school? I think it maybe should be. Whenever I was in Russia, the common greeting was privyet, which means hello or greetings. But anytime you'd want to talk with a Christian or greet a Christian, you'd say, Privyet to you, greetings, brother, greetings, close friend. There was a difference in the way they greeted one another than the way they greeted men from the world. Maybe we should try to emulate this idea, that we should let our relationship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, as fellow heirs in Christ, be reflected in the way we greet one another. I'm not saying we need to give one another a holy kiss like they used to, but perhaps we should take a little bit more time, maybe think about a little bit more who it is we're coming into contact with. And some of us go many days without seeing another Christian, depending upon where you work or where you go to school. And I know there's great joy, and when we come together, let's not be content with simply saying, hi, how are you, and waiting for the quick response and move on. I'm just as guilty of this as others are, but maybe we should try to be a little bit more intentional on how we speak with one another and really show the love that we have for one another. It's always good to hear when visitors come that they say this is a place of warmth and it's a welcoming place. Let's continue to encourage that as we greet one another. Well, John isn't simply writing to say hello to his Christian brother, but he has some important instruction for him and that we can benefit from as well. John tells Gaius that he is to imitate what is good. And we see that in verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. As I said when I began, everyone imitates somebody. It's natural, really, to look up to others. It's natural to want to model yourself after someone else, to follow the pattern of someone else's speech or the way they carry themselves or the way they think. It's just the way humans are. We're meant to learn from one another. We're meant to learn from our parents as we imitate our parents. People are familiar with small children who like to be like their mom and dad. Little kids like to talk like their parents. They like to dress like them, have mannerisms like them. Siblings do the same thing. Younger brothers look up to older brothers. Younger sisters look up to older sisters. Elijah refuses to eat anything without a fork now because his older brothers use a fork. And so he won't eat anything with his hands like a normal 1.5-year-old would do. I wish I could still eat with my hands. But he wants to be like his older brothers. And that's okay. Imitation is natural. It's all right. I think John is agreeing there. He doesn't say, if you imitate, but he's acknowledging the fact that we do imitate. But we need to be careful how and who we imitate. We need to be intentional, just like Gaius needed to be intentional and choose carefully who we're going to imitate. Because the character of the one we imitate will impact who we are and how we will behave. This is significant if you are a believer who is being renewed after the image of God. Because if we were to imitate someone who is evil, as John says, this person has not seen God. And therefore, to imitate them would be very detrimental to our spiritual health. Well, this seems very much like common sense here. Why would we want to imitate someone who is evil? That just seems like that's something we wouldn't want to do. But John's very realistic. He recognizes the reality of the situation that we are prone to imitate those around us. And if we're not intentional about who it is that we imitate, we're just going to follow the pattern of those around us very easily. That's why Paul had to warn bad company corrupts good character. He wasn't saying that you shouldn't be around bad company necessarily. We still need to be engaged in the world and the people of the world that we might evangelize to them and share the gospel with them. But he wants you to focus on or be careful on how you are conducting yourself around them. Because if we're not intentional about who we imitate, we'll just follow the way the crowd operates. I don't know if you found it to be the case whenever you hang out with somebody that you're friends with and you come home and talk to another friend or your spouse or your brother or sister. They say, wow, you picked up that real fast, or an accent or a mannerism of a particular person. We pick up habits. We pick up things very unintentionally. We're not even trying to do it. So we need to be intentional about who it is that we're imitating, and we need to imitate that which is good. So what John has in mind here about good and evil, he gives examples of in this letter. And he goes on to give an example of what evil looks like. And he points that out in verses 9 and 10. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. John identifies this man, Diotrephes. Evidently, he was a leader in the church to which Gaius was a part of. Now, this man, whether he was a self-proclaimed leader, just kind of a strong personality taking charge of the group, or he was actually an elder in the church, we don't know. But John is identifying this man as one who is an example of evil, who's carrying out evil deeds. And he points out 5 different characteristics of this man that he wants Gaius to be aware of, and he wants us to be aware of as well. Things that we ought not to imitate. First, he points out that he loves to have the preeminence. He likes to put himself first. He's a selfish man. He's proud of himself. In fact, he's breaking the first commandment here. Diotrephes' God is himself. He's placed himself before the Lord. And this is no man who should be in leadership, the one who loves to be there for his own self-interest. Secondly, John points out that he rejects proper authority. John wrote a letter to this church for some reason or another. Some suggest it was the letter of 1 John. Some suggest it was the letter of 2 John or another John. Whatever it was, Diotrephes did not accept it as authoritative. He was keeping at arm's length the apostle John, the very emissary of the Lord Jesus Christ. Diotrephes did not want to receive him. And this is a wicked thing, to not accept the Lord's appointed messengers. This is like rejecting a prophet of old. And this is exactly what Diotrephes was doing. He was rejecting proper authority. And in doing so, he was breaking the 5th commandment. not understanding his proper role underneath those who were over him. And thirdly, John points out that he gossips maliciously, that he slanders. And this man was speaking evil words about the apostle and about the people the apostle represented. Here, this man's breaking the ninth commandment, not holding up his brother's good name and speaking evil against him, gossiping. Some of your translations say that he speaks something like wicked nonsense about them, things that aren't even true. He's spreading false rumors, lies about the apostle. This is an evil deed again, and we ought not, and Gaius ought not to imitate it. Fourthly, we see that he's inhospitable, especially to those who are of the truth. John says, therefore, when I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren. Last week, I told you how the traveling preachers would go from town to town carrying the gospel message. And in 2 John, he was warning against the false teachers who were moving around. Well, in this letter, he's identifying that there are good teachers who are moving around as well, and they ought to be received. And yet Diotrephes is not receiving them. He's not showing Christian hospitality to these brothers in Christ. And in fact, he's standing against the message of the gospel, not helping these men as they go forth to carry the good news of Jesus Christ. Fifthly, he abuses his authority. There were other brothers in the church who wanted to extend hospitality to these traveling preachers, the good ones. And yet when they tried to, Diotrephes would excommunicate them. He would put them out of the church for even trying to help the good Christian men who were going around to present the gospel. He was abusing his authority. And so John gives five quick evil deeds not to imitate. These are not the kind of characteristics you want in someone you want to emulate, let alone someone who is in a position of leadership. You don't have to think long and hard before you realize that the characteristics of Diotrephes mirror those of Satan himself. Who more than Satan loved having the preeminence? Who loved having himself first? He exalted himself above God, and therefore he was cast out of heaven with a legion of angels. Satan does not reject proper authority, very obviously rejecting God's authority and reign over all things. Satan gossips maliciously. He's a liar and the father of lies and so forth. Diotrephes was carrying forth the characteristics of his father. He was imitating his father. And as we see, as the Jews, the Pharisees of Jesus' time, they were not very hospitable to Christ. They were rejecting the truth, and they were abusing their authority as leaders in the church. And so Satan carries forth his acts through wicked men, and we ought not to imitate them. But why does John seem to point out the obvious here? Like I said, it would seem to be obvious that we shouldn't imitate such people like this. Well, it's a good reminder to have because some people can actually be attractive. They seem powerful. They seem zealous. They seem bold. They seem like leaders, and they often are. Many times these are the popular ones in school or the powerful ones at work. And that can be a very attractive thing. Wanting to gain a position of prominence with your friends at school, what will you have to do? What will you have to sacrifice? What will you have to imitate in order to gain that position? Or what about at work? Do you need to break the rules? Do you need to step on people's heads to get where you need to be? Do you need to imitate what is evil to attain a position of power? The Christian road is not that way. He who humbles himself will be exalted. That's a difficult thing to do sometimes. That's why these folks can seem to be attractive. And these folks are in the church as well, just like Diotrephes. And it can be tempting to follow their lead. But John reminds us that such people as these have not seen God. They are self-loving tyrants who will poison the church. And if emulated, they will poison your spiritual life. Therefore, John says, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. And John gives an example of what the good looks like in verse 12. He goes on to talk about a man named Demetrius. Verse 12, Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. Now, we really know nothing about Demetrius whatsoever, other than the fact that it seems here that John is using him as a counterexample to Diotrephes. And if that's the case, then he must be the opposite of what Diotrephes is. And if that's the case, he must be a whole lot like Jesus Christ. Because if you consider the characteristics of Diotrephes and consider the exact opposite of what those are, you have a picture of Jesus. Diotrephes loved the preeminence. Jesus had preeminence, and yet he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. Diotrephes rejected authority, and yet Jesus respects proper authority as well as Demetrius seemed to. Jesus made himself a servant, and he obeyed God in everything that he did. Evidently, Demetrius, just like Christ, did not gossip or slander, but he always spoke the truth. And even though he probably had instances, and I know Christ had instances to speak out against injustice, even in his own crucifixion, like a sheep before its shearers, he remained silent. He didn't speak out. Demetrius was evidently hospitable, just as Christ was. Christ said he didn't come to be served, but to serve. And in doing so, he gave himself, his life, a ransom for many. And Jesus never abused his authority. And Demetrius evidently is a good example of this, not abusing his authority. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And Jesus didn't abuse the authority that he had. He hung on the cross. He could have called down legions of angels. He could have called God to save him from that hour. And yet he didn't abuse that authority, but he obeyed his Father. This is the kind of man Demetrius evidently was. He had a good testimony from all of those who were in the church. He had a good testimony from the truth itself, meaning that his walk was lined up with the truth of the Word of God. And the Apostle John gives his own testimony to this man, Demetrius, saying he is a good man. So Gaius ought to imitate him. But John also gives us the example of Gaius in this letter. He gives us in verses 3 through 8 what Gaius has been doing and what he looks like, so we can model our lives after him as well. John says, "For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have been borne witness about your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth." There are a couple characteristics of Gaius here that we can learn from or imitate. The first is that we see that he has the truth and he walks in it. This means that he was obedient to God's word. He received the truth of the gospel and he began to conform his life to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles. This is a worthy example to follow, and we ought to do such. Secondly, he demonstrates continual love and service to the church. "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. And they've borne witness of your love before the church." This man is continually serving the church in some specific way, most likely showing hospitality to these traveling preachers. He's continually serving and showing his love to fellow believers. And thirdly, as I said, he's showing hospitality to these other believers. "If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well." So he's showing hospitality to these members. Likely John is here trying to reinforce his activity already. If you're doing this, Gaius, if you're sending them forward, you're doing well. Don't let Diotrephes confuse you. You're doing a good job because you're sending these men forward in the name of Jesus Christ. And in so doing, fourthly, he supports the work of the church. When he sends them forward, he becomes a fellow worker for the truth. He is a worthy example to be followed. And John gives us his example. Well, John says farewell in the last two verses, showing how imitating good brings peace. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by my name. That's quite a different tenor in his farewell address there than you can imagine what his speech to Diotrephes will be when he comes. There's a very different feel to it. That's because he is imitating what is good. He's already doing what is good. He's already walking in the truth. And it is giving John great joy that his child walks in the truth. And this brings peace and unity and fellowship in the church. That's why the others want to send their greetings to him. And why John wants him to express his greetings to the others in the church. Imitating good brings peace among fellow believers. John calls us to imitate what is good. So there's three practical ways I think we can do that. The first is that we can identify a godly person to emulate. And John set Demetrius before Gaius to emulate. And we could do the same thing. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So he's identifying the fact that we can identify godly, mature believers in our lives that we might model our lives after. So I'd really encourage you, especially those of you who are young, to find a mature believer that you might model your life after. Even approach that individual and ask them, would you be willing to disciple me? Would you be willing to teach me what it means to be a young godly man or a young godly woman? And mature believers, those of you who have been long in the faith, I encourage you to take that opportunity. This is the next generation of the church. Pour your lives into them. Teach them what you have learned. Give them a good example to imitate. Secondly, examine Jesus' life. This is another way to imitate what is good. Who better to imitate than Jesus? I'd encourage you to read the Gospels and look at how Jesus interacts with other people, how he relates to them, the things that he says, how he treats them, how he deals with them. And Gary McNamee went through in the Sunday school class, Loving the Way Jesus Loved. That would be an excellent book to reread and go through again. Imitate Jesus. Imitate Jesus, and in so you'll be imitating what is good. And thirdly, I'd like to suggest that you meditate on God's law. Meditate on God's law. And I'm speaking more specifically than just all of Scripture itself, which would be good to meditate upon. But I'd actually encourage you to meditate on the law of God given to Moses in the Old Testament. Spend some time reading Leviticus. Spend some time reading Deuteronomy. All Scripture is profitable and given to you that you might grow in the faith. Once we understand and once we realize and know that God's law is the very expression of his character, we'll want to meditate in such things. Because when you go and look at the law of God, you're looking at the very face of God. So meditate on his law. You'll find it sweeter in taste than honey and more precious than gold. So meditate on his law. Read it. Try to draw out the principle behind the specific applications that God gives in his law. And more you imitate what is good, the more and more you will grow in Christ's likeness. And that's what the Lord is doing for us as we imitate that which is good. He's conforming us more to the image of Christ. So let's do so. Beloved, don't imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. Let's pray.